relaxing. I don't care. I care about this interview, but I don't care about your soundboard.
Festival north side of Racine, Wisconsin. It's the podcast that just doesn't give a damn anymore.
It marginally cares.
We guys gained some beer!
I was gonna wait to crack my beer until the show started here.
And today we've got a special guest.
Eric.
Yes.
He's on cue, he got it!
Yay! And he's the developer of a game that we've been mentioning in the last, like, three episodes.
Slash did a Let's Play of, slash we taunt each other about, slash, you know.
Yeah, there's some of us who are more skilled than others.
Yeah, not look at me, because I suck at the game.
Who's the best one out of you?
Jonah.
It's Rob's son, and he's not here. And, like, usually it's the father-son duo doing awesome, and then I'm trailing right behind.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
You're second. Jonah's number one, though, man.
No, I'm third. Yeah, Rob's better than I am.
Rob? Did you dominate?
I'm quite good at that.
Yeah, Rob is quite good at that.
Yeah, he's pretty good at the game.
I'm just happy if I get one in the
session. Yeah, I'm good with that. Okay, so, hey, before we start the show, guys, what are we drinking tonight?
What are we drinking?
We are drinking a Furthermore Brew, and we love our Furthermore anyways.
They're a very, very small microbrery out of Madison, Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it's very difficult because they do not sell out of state.
But if you are in Wisconsin, Furthermore is a beer to pick up.
Very high quality ingredients, very high quality beer. It's very delicious.
Not Stop, one of my favorites. This is something a little different. We haven't tried this yet. It's called Fatty Boom Blatty. And it is a Belgium Ale.
A Belgium Ale. Mm.
Right. And it's dangerously drinkable. Let's find out.
Alright.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty dangerously
drinkable. I would say that it's dangerously drinkable.
What's the ABV on this thing?
I'm betting it's pretty high.
But basically, I mean, it's very light. I wouldn't consider this at all a winter beer, but it's delicious.
No,
I love Belgian. I will drink every Belgian.
Alright, so gentlemen.
It's a very light. It's a very light Belgian, though. Mm.
Mixed review.
I'm a sucker for Belgians, so I'm giving it a thumbs up.
I agree.
I'd rather drink the beer I want to drink, no matter what, like how cold or warm it is. Like I don't.
See, I
drink a Belgian in the winter or summer.
I'm a sucker for drinking Unibrew's Ephemere, which is a notoriously summer beer. It's like an apple Belgian ale.
Yeah.
And it is, like, perfect in summer, but I will be drinking it all year long. Even though they only produce it seasonally, I will legitimately drink it if it's been sitting on a shelf for a few months, because it's delicious.
He
hoards it in his basement.
He does hoard it, too.
So, you know.
It's like a winery down there, all man. Right.
So, Rob, what are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about Disco Dodgeball.
Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball. Yeah. Say that after two or three beers is very
good. Say that again and see how it gets tongue twistery as you get drunk.
Oh, no. We have enough trouble saying it when we're sober.
Tom butchered it last
time. Oh, yeah, I did. Last time I got like halfway through it and that was it. I was done.
Escape up.
So, where did the name come from? I mean, it matches the game quite clearly.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's no false advertising there. You pretty much get what you expect.
Everything. Yeah.
I work, I'm from Boston, and I work next to, or around the Dejaban Studios, and they make a game like Drunken Robot Pornography, and a bass jumping game that's 27 A's in a row with the title.
Oh,
and I saw him, and I saw, like, wow, he's getting a lot of awesome attention for having ridiculous names in his games. So I kind of took a page from his playbook, and just kind of went all out with it.
That's kind of weird.
But it really was just like, you know... You've got to do something to stand out, and there's so many games that are like Dungeon of, you know.
Dungeons of Beeholes, yes. Yeah.
And it's like, I can't keep them all straight, so I figured, you know, just throw a bunch of things at the wall, and it kind of works. It's kind of like it has some flow to it, so.
Yeah, I, Rob had come up to me at work, and, you know, he gets excited about a few games, but this one he was, like, really, really, like, over-the-top excited for. So I kind of knew, like, getting into it, I was like, okay, I'll definitely have to check this out sooner rather than later. And it is very, very addictive. It's easy to pick up, and it's super hard to master. And I do have to say, there's a lot going for it. I've been enjoying playing, like, all of the game modes, like, religiously.
We don't get as much work done anymore.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Well, it's fine. I mean, why loop?
Oh, that's all right.
But, you know, do you just want to give us a quick premise of the game for people who might not know what it is?
Okay, sure. So it's a first-person shooter, except you are only throwing dodgeballs, so there's no guns. Your only weapon is dodgeballs, and you actually have to pick them up, too. So you have one ammo, and you are robots on unicycle wheels. And so it's an arena shooter, but you're kind of... It's almost like Mario Kart in the way that you're kind of sliding around and jumping and going off ramps and stuff. And that gives you a ton of time to, like, do, you know, 360 no-scopes in the air and all kinds of stunt shots.
I find it gives me no time at all. It's a projectile-based
first-person sports shooter, I guess.
I definitely had a lot of fun with it. Basically, it's a good balance between, like, lighthearted fun and, like, a skill-based shooter. Like, it feels very different. Yeah, the fact that you're playing dodgeball, and, like, the power-ups are a little silly. I mean, they've got stuff like the big ball, the homing.
Everybody likes big balls.
Yeah. And the extra...
Did you purposely shy away from guns?
Well, so, to be honest, part of the appeal of the game to me is that I can be lazy, and I don't need to, like, build a bunch of 3D models for weapons. I'm just in the default, you know, Unity sphere. Like, that's the weapon model. Because, like, I gotta be honest, like, I'm a solo developer. You know, I don't have a big budget.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that are gonna do this stuff. Like, I don't really like working for RevShare and stuff. So I kind of had to pick a project that was doable as a solo, as a one-person thing, right? So... you always tell other game developers, like, don't build first-person shooters by yourself. It's a terrible idea. And then I, like, broke that rule entirely myself. But the whole idea is, like, it's actually, like, a pretty simple concept. Like, the core of it's pretty simple. And then I can, like, stack on all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
like, the jetpacks are huge dodgeballs, and they're all kind of, like, just bonus flavor. But, you know, it's really simple core.
So you're using the Unity engine on this?
Yep.
Sweet. Very nice. No, again, it's I would have described it as being like that. As far as we find it, again, with the physics of the game, it plays extremely well. It doesn't seem overly simple. It seems to have amazing graphics. We love what the style.
Well, the arenas and the music and everything really comes together. It really feels unique. And, like, honestly, like, I'm wearing my headphones and, like, listen to the music as it pulses. To the arena pulses to the music.
I
really get into it. I really think it was a beautiful extra touch. It really gets you into the game.
So are you the composer also?
No, I wish. So I found a couple musicians. Like, one of them was the musician for the Super Hot trailer. Do you guys know that? That's the one where it's a shooter where time moves.
Where you can, like, alternate the time or kind of move faster or slower. Yeah.
There was a trailer for that, and it blew up. Because, I mean, the game concept is amazing, but also it has this song, and everything you put this song to feels amazing. So I swear that 90% of the game feel is just the music. And so this guy, this is Adhesive Wombat, and he had a couple of songs on SoundCloud that I loved. I also had some original music written by an Octave who worked on A Virus Named Tom. And a couple of the people just emailed me randomly, like, they had seen the game on a stream and said, like, hey, do you want to check out my music? And so Crate is one example that emailed me out of the blue, and I was just blown away. And I'm like, yes, like, let's get your stuff in the game. So it's all just random stuff that I've found.
Nice.
From just, you know, small-time musicians. And I'm really happy to have found stuff that's that good.
It is that good.
You know, like,
really
or anything.
That was, like, when I first played it, that was, like, one of the first things I, like, noticed was, like, the music and, like, the stages acting with the music and stuff like that. I was like, this is awesome.
Like, it gives me kind of, like, a shooter. Oh, I, like, almost the same feeling I get when I play Rez. You know, you kind of get amped up.
Yes.
It's, like, a very similar feeling. I absolutely just love that. It just really got me right into it. And it just kept me playing, for sure.
There's something about that. I don't know, like, what the word is exactly, but, like, when... when the lights and music sync up that closely, like something weird happens with your brain and just like sucks you in, like puts everything starts working at a whole nother level. And I think that, yeah, that atmosphere adds a lot to the game.
I'm gonna go with synergy.
Yeah. I was thinking seizure. It might be a seizure.
It could be seizure.
No, you're not enjoying that game. You're stroking out.
Same difference.
I'm just saying, based on your gameplay history, Larry, you maybe
stroke it out.
Yeah, but I can't fire with the music like I can in Rez.
Is that your problem?
So it throws me off. Yeah.
You know, I'm terrified that, like, let's say the game gets really popular, and then 10 years later, there's like a whole generation of people that like have epilepsy because
of what you've done.
I realize until 10 years later, so.
Have you ever seen the movie The Jerk?
Yes, but a long time ago.
You basically did the plot.
That does it. Yeah, that's how he gets rich, those glasses that they...
Right, like, and they make him cross-eyed. Out, right?
Make everybody cross-eyed.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly... I'm terrified of that.
I didn't realize The Jerk was a horror film.
Now, Tom and I have had this discussion about movement physics. Now, you obviously purposely went for a physics engine that felt like you were on one wheel and slightly out of control. Not completely.
No, but slightly out of control. That's intentional, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So, at first I found it...
The answer is yes there, right?
No, I found it a little disconcerting at first, because it was like, damn, these controls are loose. You know, they seem kind of sloppy to me at first. And then you realize, well, of course they're sloppy. I'm on a freaking one-wheel robot.
Yeah, it's supposed to be tricky. Originally, like, the very first prototype, like, it was the standard, like, you're just walking around, right? But I had built this arena that had a couple ramps on it, and I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to, like, launch off that ramp. Like, I don't want to just jump. I want to just fly through the air, and then when I'm out there, you know, then I can, like I said, do all those trick shots and stuff. So I spent a couple days, like, adding a wheel. I had to kind of mess with the physics to get that working, right? But it really, like, there's something about that, like... Like, you want to feel like you're on a skateboard or something. And I played a lot of, like, Tony Hawk back in the day, and it kind of has that feeling of like, flow when you're going from, like, one ramp to the next, and, like, you time your jump appropriately. And if you had full air control, it wouldn't feel as satisfying when you land or something. You wouldn't have to, like, plan out your jumps ahead of time as much. And there's something about that process that I think clicks with people and makes it feel a little different than other shooters.
Yeah.
So
the very first game I'm playing it.
They're planning. I'm just constantly out of control in that game.
Yeah, so my first game was like, fuck. I wasn't quite used to that
and
kind
like,
of glide.
That's why, like, Jonah and Rob and I were doing so well, because you're just hanging around the top, like, cruising up or down these ramps,
yep,
grabbing power-ups. They're sitting at the bottom, just, you know, collecting themselves.
So I was chasing Tom one time, and he's like, he's going pretty slow, and he goes up one of the ramps, and I shoot up there to go get him, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm flying into the wall, you know? Oh.
So there's something funny I love seeing, like, whenever someone does a video of it, like, when it's their first time playing, the first, like, 5 minutes of the video is like, oh, I'm so bad at this game. They're just like, oh, like, kind of frustrated. And, like, they can't hit anything, and they can't, like, they're just sliding all over the place. But then when they get that first hit, they're like, yes! And
yeah.
They're just freaking out. And, like, you can tell that it's the kind of that tension and, like, that difficulty that makes it that much more satisfying when you hit someone.
Who did the voice acting for the little commentaries?
So that's a guy named Bob Oakman. And if you look him up on YouTube, he has this amazing clip of him doing, like, VOs for, like, Bon Jovi concerts. Real monster truck shows.
Oh, yes!
I think, like, so again, I like, I work at an office that. Where we kind of share desk space with other game developers. And I think someone found it, we were showing it around, like, man, it'd be so amazing to have that person in the game. And then I was like, eh, okay. And I never, like, took any action on it. And then someone was like, dude, like, just email him and, like, see if he's available. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably do that. And, yeah, and he was available, and, like, it was amazing. Just absolute night and day. Particularly with, like, the trailer. Having the quality VO in the trailer, like, really says a lot about a game and, like, really hooks people. And I think that makes, like, all the difference. Just adds to just over the top, everything about the game. I'm really, really happy that I found that guy.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, like, what is some of the stuff he says?
It's, you know, it's It's always stuff that just pisses you off when it's in your face.
Are you just like death from above kind of stuff?
Yeah,
death from above.
Ricochet.
Ricochet.
No.
AKA the you got lucky shot.
Yeah, no, I was like the fact he rubs it in when you're. Deny.
Yeah. So basically, going back just a little bit, I really do think the game strikes a fine line of feeling unique enough where, like, okay, this game feels familiar. It's, you know, it's a shooter, but the rules are just enough different to keep you intrigued. And I really think it was just difficult enough to get me hooked in and keep playing, because it really does feel like a very unique experience, and I really enjoy playing it a lot.
Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, I was just wondering, how long did it take you to, like, start, like, deciding, you know, hey, I want to throw in this, you know, basketball mode, or, like, how long along the line did that come into development?
I think, like, right from the start, I knew that, like, straight-up dodgeball by itself, like, wouldn't be enough. Like, I'd need some kind of, like, extra thing happening there, and, fortunately, because, like, you know, it's got that really simple base, you know, you can tweak the rules just a little bit, and now you have, like, totally different tactics for what that mode's going to be. And so I like the idea of, like, complexity coming from kind of that high-level metagame and not just, like, 1,000 different rules.
Yeah.
Partly, you know, I used to build, like, strategy games and stuff, and I was sick of building giant tutorials with, like, explaining all this stuff, and it's just huge pain. And I love that I can just be, like, throw the ball at the hoop, and, like, everyone gets that, right? I think, like, right away, I had a prototype up after a couple weeks, just put on a website, and pretty soon I started getting requests for game modes, and I think the Hoops one actually came from a player. I was like, yeah, that's awesome, and needs to be added to the game. And it just kind of, I mean, right now I probably have, like, 30 different game modes that I want to add or that people have suggested, and I hope to add as many as I can without it being, you know, overwhelming.
Yeah, we really.
Yeah, it just extends really well in that area.
We really like throwing it on a random playlist and just seeing what we get, and it's caused some very fun moments.
We're hooking up to somebody's server who's turned the gravity off. There's some guy out there that just runs the server where the gravity's off all the time. What the hell, you know?
Well, I have a question about the power-ups too. Like, you know, you got fire, you got laser, homing, big balls. Like, are you thinking about adding? Hey, it's a power up.
And there's nothing wrong with
the ball. Let's be mature here for 5 seconds.
Really?
Like,
no, and it's really weird. The music changes to AC/DC when you
hear it. Yeah. But are you, like, planning to, like, add, like, different power ups?
That's not true.
Like, maybe like a bouncy ball one where you can ricochet off the walls like a bunch of times.
So there is a it's hidden, but I added it pretty recently. It's a modifier that makes the ball super bouncy. So that's kind of in the list with, like, the low gravity, high gravity, type stuff. So there's something like that. Here's kind of how I view the power-up thing is, so same with the game modes, there was, like, a ton of suggestions for awesome power-ups to add because, you know, just little tweaks that make things fun. But of course you gotta worry about balancing and multiplayer. And some of that stuff can just be, like, horribly game-breaking.
Yeah.
So what I tried to do, there's a single-player game mode called Arcade. And in that mode, like, there's no... The whole idea is you've got crazy overpowered power-ups, and it's you versus just this army of AI bots. And by the end, it's, like, you versus seven, right? So you got to have some insane power-ups to even survive. And so I threw, like, all the power-up ideas in there, stuff like slowing down time, or, like, throwing, like, having infinite dodgeballs to throw, or, like, stuff that bounces off one enemy and homes to another one, so you can, like, get a multi-kill with one shot, like... Kill six robots with one ball.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Multi kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have to say, like, the AI, they're pretty clever. Either that or we're not that good. Because it's like, we all have, like, people who drop out temporarily and a bot will come in and replace them. And they're like, man, they put up a decent fight.
Yeah, you don't notice that their bots really... I mean, they're not, like, the ones dominating the game, but they're good enough that you don't really realize they're bots unless you look.
Yeah,
they have a movement style that, like, they're a lot more linear about where they get to places. The awesome thing about this is, like, the AI needs... I guess looking back, it was a lot of work, but it's, like, it needs pathfinding, which I used a plugin for. And it needs to be able to, like, hit a player at distance, and it just does, like, a little bit of math to figure out the right trajectory, and then it throws it. So it was actually pretty easy to get AI that was, like, decent enough to put up a good fight. And I'm sure, like, someone better AI programming could make, like, AI that's just unbelievable. But I don't even think that's necessary at this point, right? Like, you don't always want to play against godlike AI. You just want someone to, like, fill the spot so you don't feel like you're in an empty room by yourself, so.
Yeah. I agree.
It was pretty fun to build. I mean, you can, it was so weird. So this is my first Unity game, and first time building, like, a 3D game. And the moment that I first attached an AI script to an enemy bot, and the first thing it did was just, like, chase after you. And I couldn't stop giggling. I'd go pick up a dodgeball, and then this, like, enemy bot would just, like, start bumping into me and, like, running me off the wall. And it was just this weird moment where, like, whoa, like, I gave life to that thing, and, like, it's now responding to my movement, and
it's trying to
end
like, me.
And like all children, it's trying to kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I interpret it differently. I think it was trying to make sweet love.
No, no, no. It's like all children. It's just trying to kill him.
Denied. Moment of silence.
That wasn't. That was a moment of silence. Yeah.
Well, that was me getting a drink at that point.
Oh, that's okay too. What are you drinking?
All right, so I have a confession to make. Yeah. But I also have an excuse. So I'm drinking Fresca and gin.
Hey, that doesn't sound all that
you
bad.
Like gin.
Well, the thing is, you know, I know you guys probably expect me to have some beers.
To be fair, there's a lot of gin.
I can't leave my house because of all the snow.
Yeah, when was the last time you were able to leave your house?
Sorry?
When was the last time you were able to leave your house?
So,
that long.
This is horrible. So I've left the house to shovel a lot, but I haven't left. I left the block once, like a week ago. And I don't think I've gone. Like, it's probably been 3 or 4 weeks. Like, that's the only time I've, like, left the house in a month. And part of that is I'm trying to get a game ready for launch, right? So, like, I'm doing a lot of
crunch time. Oh, sure, yeah. That's the excuse, yes. No,
what are you down to eating now?
There's a lot of mac and cheese. I made enchiladas from a box tonight, so I was thinking of combining the two, make mac and cheese enchiladas, but I felt like that was too, like, white trash.
No, that sounds actually pretty good.
Is it
wrong?
This is
Wisconsin.
We're kind of white trash.
Is it wrong to, like, okay, you look outside and go, man, I ain't driving out there, and then, like, order food?
You know, I'm honestly getting to that point where, like, I'm thinking about it. Like, you can get around in a car. But it is a concern. It's like, they're going to show up at the door and be, like, pissed at me. Because, like, it's a place that I could walk to. Which, like, I could, like, maybe see it from my house. It's like, you could walk 10 minutes.
Here's a free Steam key for you.
Yeah. Please don't spit in my food.
You know, back to the game a minute. You know, one of the game mechanics that I found very frustrating at first was charging the ball.
Yeah.
And so, well, tell me about that a little bit, you know, like, normally, when you pick up something, you can use it pretty quickly in a game. You pick something up, you can't immediately use it in this game. You have to charge it, and then you can use it.
Yep. So the model for that was kind of the, well, I guess any kind of bow and arrow in shooters. Like, if there's a first-person shooter out there, like, has a bow and arrow, that's the only weapon I'm using as soon as I get it till the end of the game. Like, there's just something so satisfying about, like, that. It's that process of charging up the shot and lining it and, like, tracking the player and trying to anticipate where they're going to go and then firing it off.
You'll play chivalry then.
And so that, I think there's something in your brain like that, that it's kind of this little mini arc of tension of, like, you know, going from picking up the ball and charging your shot. And while you're charging, your anticipation is kind of growing. And like, while you're doing it, you're a little bit more vulnerable. And the longer you wait, maybe, like, they're trying to get a shot off at the hoop. And you don't know when you're supposed to fire, and then someone, like, blocks your shot. And so I think it adds a little bit more tension, and then when you hit them, the reward is a little bit greater. And if you have to, you can just tap the fire button and do a quick draw and hit someone like that's, like, right next to you if you're both, like, racing for one ball. So you can use it immediately to some extent, but if you're doing anything long range, like, you got to have a full charge shot.
I've noticed that because I've killed Larry out of limp wrist before.
Gotcha!
Wait, no, wait.
though. Like, you
sorry, I missed it. If you only charge like 20%, you only just get a hit. You don't get a death out of it.
No,
I've hit a lot of people with a quick draw.
No, you just don't get the distance.
Oh, you don't get
if
the
you don't
distance.
Charge it. It literally sets the distance the ball travels.
Yeah.
And like your ball probably isn't even reaching the target.
Yeah, and you can usually tell. Basically, you can tell if it'll count as a hit because it'll be glowing in your color. And then if it hits the ground, for example, sometimes it'll bounce hard enough that it keeps ricocheting. Otherwise, it'll just kind of turn to the regular one again.
There's a subtle complexity
when
that
it's
whole
bouncing.
Situation.
Yeah, if you charge it more, it'll bounce more as your color. But if you charge it less, it'll bounce and it immediately changes back to a yellow ball, and it's no
it's
longer
neutral,
yours.
Yeah.
It's a neutral
ball.
Again.
There's like a lot of little things like that. I've just like really like it's simple enough that I can explain to somebody in like 3 or 4 minutes, and then you know I still. Like, still getting used to the nuances of it.
Because, see, half the time, I end up getting a hit, but I don't get the kill. Pisses me off.
You're not getting a hit.
You're not throwing them.
Yeah, you're lip-pressing
it, buddy. No, it says hit, but the person doesn't die. They just fly away.
Yeah, it says hit, they die.
Yeah.
Maybe
like they're blocking it. Like, if you're holding a ball, you can actually bounce a thrown shot off it.
Yeah.
So it should actually say, I had a recent, like, it'll
it
say
it's
the
blocked,
text block.
Yeah.
The other thing is if they just spawn, they'll have a shield, and then they'll say shield if you try to hit them there. So that might be what's happening. Otherwise, yeah, like, everyone has, like, one health.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe they're dying, and I'm just, like, blowing past that part,
mm-hmm.
and they actually have
Literally was a few beers in at this point.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always a few beers
in.
Yeah,
that kind of happens.
He's just throwing the ball at the wall, and it's like, why isn't he dying?
Yes, that's
yes,
the ball.
You watched the game. It was hitting me, and I kept dying. I don't know what... Wait, can you self-kill?
No.
I
should add that.
No, don't add that. We're bad enough as it is. All right, so you are going to... This is coming out now. It's been in beta release for how long now?
I've been working on it for a year and a half total. It's been probably publicly playable for like all of that except for 2 or 3 weeks. It's been on early access for just about 1 year, and then the official launch is this Thursday, 2 days. I guess, well, it depends on when this goes live. But
this will go live on release day.
Thursday. Oh, fantastic.
That's when we do our...
So
when
today,
we do
today if
yes.
So, you've got greenlighted on Steam and picked Steam to do the show, to do the software on or release the game on.
Yeah.
Again... We find that is a great way to go with games. Your experience with working with Steam?
It's been awesome. They have so much of the market locked up, and I think for good reason. They have a lot of really awesome things about it. Like all the stats, the achievements, the leaderboards. I want to do something kind of like TF2, where you have items and like Steam Workshop, like that kind of thing is potentially huge for a game. And it's one of the things that really appealed to me about Disco Dodgeball from the very start. I'm like, oh, this would be an amazing like Steam Workshop kind of project. So in a way, I'm kind of tying myself pretty tightly to the Steam platform. Eventually, I'd love to do kind of something like a console release. But for like the first official release, Steam is the way to go. And then players are really the discovery features in Steam they just added have actually been huge for the game. Basically, a month ago, it crossed some threshold of reviews where it became, it earned this overwhelmingly positive tag, right? And so 99% of people gave it a thumbs up. And, like, 3 jerks gave it a thumbs down, and I'm gonna find them.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Hunt them down one by one.
Did they have any constructive criticism?
Well, so one of them, the latest, which is hilarious, is like, it's hard to control, and the color scheme is exclusively neon.
Wow.
So wait,
so
basically
is like
they didn't
every
get
color.
It.
So it's like, oh, you're exclusively every single color available. Like,
the game is too disco for me.
That's basically
just
the
logo
not
is like 1,000 colors. Like, did you think this was like some kind of noir, like, I don't understand how that happened. Anyways, so it got this, like, tag, and then all of a sudden, Steam started recommending it to a bunch of other people. and sales went up by basically a factor of 10.
Wow.
Which was awesome. And that's all due to Steam, like, basically saying, like, okay, we're going to start pushing games in front of other people. And, you know, it would have been, I guess, ideally, it wouldn't have been such a big jump. It would have been like, okay, this is trending towards a positively reviewed game. We're going to start pushing it out a bit more. And so, you know, maybe that'll change in the future, but that's one of those awesome things about being on Steam, is that they are actively working to push you in front of other people. And compared to, like, the, like, you know, I used to do iOS games, and, like, the absolute wasteland the App Store is, and I could rant about that for a whole nother episode. Like, they do not, like, okay, they care, but, like, they don't really care. Like, they're trying to sell friends. Like, they don't really care about, like, games being, like, sent to people. And honestly, customers, like, mobile customers don't really care that much either. Like, they just want, like, the latest, like, throwaway game they can play on the toilet for a week. And then they'll just delete it and, like, download the next thing. So being on a platform that, like, actually cares and having customers that really care about the game is such an amazing change. And it's been, like, the best decision I ever made to, like, give up mobile and move to PC. It's been absolutely fantastic.
So this is the first?
Yeah, it's my first PC game. The rest were mobile.
All right. So you were just talking about games you get, play on the John once, and throw away when you're done. Rob, how many games are in your Steam account?
700-something.
and that being said, you know whose game he plays?
Yeah.
Eric's.
I got like 80 hours logged on that.
Dude, you've got unbelievable hours on that one.
And I actually played it for that. I didn't leave it on to mine the cards.
Just to rank up the trading cards.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know, and that's it. It's a game that, okay, so one of my things is I have a life, so I do not have 100 hours to put into a game. I cannot sit down for 100 hours and play a game through, whatever the case may be. It's what I like about games like Dodgeball. You can get in, play a couple quick rounds, and get back out again.
I think that's how it's snuck up on me, is because I can pick it up for those, you know, that half hour that I've gotten, I can play a few games.
Yep. So, yeah, that's something that, you know, it's something I'm really happy how that kind of worked out for this game, because I haven't played a lot of games in the past year, you know, partly because I'm busy, but partly because it's like, I don't really want to sit down for 3 hours and do a thing. Like, I can't get myself mentally psyched up enough to get into something for that long anymore, and, like, I don't know, you know, maybe it's just a factor of getting old or getting boring or I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, but 3 hours, that's porn time.
Something about being able to, like, yeah, I know, like, I can jump in and play for 10 minutes and have a good time, and then I may wind up spending 3 hours in it. But, like, it's that commitment that's a little easier to just jump in.
Yeah, and that is me. I am afraid of commitment. So I will go with games I can play for 5 minutes, be done. It's kind of like my sex life. Play for 5 minutes, I'm done.
It's called a raw ride.
Wow. Thanks, Larry.
All right. Wow.
All right. So that's just a great turn. But all
so,
right.
So I want to get, because we can go on forever. This could actually be an infomercial.
Yeah. Well, it pretty much has been already.
Wait.
I mean, if you guys want to praise me for like an hour straight, like that's cool.
You're good pretty much, but
yeah, because you're Snowden, you're not going anywhere.
I do want to make like the general request. If you're ever on Xbox Live, could you please make it split screen so I can just totally whack one
yeah, see,
at
now,
the life?
Okay, that does bring up a question I had. Okay, so
oh no, we were talking about this.
Yeah, we did talk about this. Mm. The game would lend itself nicely to something like an Xbox or PS4 controller. Any plans on that?
So I don't. I agree 100%, and, like, the games I grew up playing were, like, GoldenEye 64.
Dodge game.
Yes. Woo!
Multiplayer, and, like, just the best, like, I love local multiplayer games, and, like, I would love someday to make, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I would love to make Disco Dodgeball a local multiplayer game. It would take a bit of work, and I think if launch does well enough and there's the demand, that's something I'm definitely going to look at. You know, going into consoles and doing you know, split screen, because it's the kind of game where like it's you know it's way more fun when you're playing with friends.
Yes,
and
yes,
in the same room even would be like it's ideal. So
I pwned you.
Really hoping I can make that happen.
God,
God damn it, noob.
Yeah, it's led to some really good Skype sessions.
Yeah. But again, would be brilliant couch gaming. That would make a great couch gaming game.
Can't promise I'm not going to hit you, though.
That adds to the game.
Looking at
really.
You, Rob.
Yeah. I've thought of making a peripheral that's like. So, I mean, I kind of stole this idea from a Penny Arcade comic, but it's kind of like. It's a little cannon that fires a dodgeball at your face, and it's triggered by USB.
No!
You're fighting with someone online, and then when you hit them, you know that they actually got hit with a little dodgeball in your face. Oh!
I'm almost sure Atari came up with something
like
that.
That does not sound like a good idea.
How often, if at all, do you sneak on and play just with other people and just kind of hide the fact that you're playing?
How would I hide it? I love going on and people have been like, oh my god, you're the developer.
Do you totally kick their ass?
Of course.
Well, sometimes you want some honest feedback
Yeah, absolutely. I think people are usually like pretty honest. You'd be surprised how
it's the internet.
It's not like people on the internet hold their opinions back, right?
Until you meet them in real life and they're like, oh.
Usually I'm like testing something, but like, you know, I'm usually getting tons of like, oh, I meant to tell you, like, oh, I have this idea or this, like, I'm having this bug, and I'm trying to like, you know, hold up my reputation by getting some kills, but I'm also like typing furiously and responding to people, and that's my excuse for why my KD isn't so great.
Yeah, I do have to say, like, and it's really cool. And the people who play the game too seem to be pretty nice and like pretty vocal about the game. It does feel very different. I like hearing what people have to say about the game as we're playing, and like people are really honestly excited to play it because it's pretty unabashed fun.
I have noticed that the players are a little bit more friendly. It's definitely not a Counter-Strike feel.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh, yeah, that's something I'm like I'm so happy with, and I don't know quite what the cause is, and I think part of it is that like you're not taking a knife into someone's throat. Like the visuals of the game are just ridiculous. Like these goofy googly eyed robots, like dodgeballs, right? Like it's not a game that you're just, like, too angry about.
And it's totally got the dodgeball sound.
Yes.
That's like going out with the paintball mod, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. There's been a couple, just a couple rare examples of people like being trolly or mean or too aggressive, and if I hear about that, I usually try to jump right on, and I don't like smack the hammer down on, but I'm kind of like, hey, can you like not do that because this isn't Call of Duty, and usually if you just ask nicely, like they're like, okay, sorry, right? Like they just assume that like that's what you do in multiplayer games. But I think what's awesome is that people, on top of the game naturally having kind of a friendlier atmosphere, is that I've got a community of players that kind of set that example. Yeah. And I want to maintain that. As who knows what's going to happen at launch, right? Like, it might get way out of my hands. But I think, like, right now, the people that are playing are friendly, and they know that, like, oh, this is a game you can actually, like, chat with people and say, like, nice shot, right? And, like, I think they, like, the...
That's a shortcut now.
...is doing a big thing.
That's a shortcut now. You got a kudo key.
Yeah, yep.
The kudo key was a good idea.
Yeah, kudos.
It's just a little thing that, like, communicates that kind of thing is, like, the norm. And it's weird how people will generally behave according to the circumstances. And if you show up and everyone's yelling at each other and swearing at each other, like, you know, you're going to get riled up too, right? But if everyone's like, oh, nice shot, like, you're like, oh, all right. Like, maybe I don't need to be a jerk. And it seems like probably...
Supportive pony.
Yes, supporting. Yes,
supportive voting.
So now that I mean, you kind of get to the tail end here. It's getting ready for release. I mean, do you already have a kind of a list of stuff that you're already going to immediately try to tackle, or are you just going to try to see how the community responds and kind of take it from there?
Yeah. There's a couple things, like, you know, I still have a list of like 100 like minor polish issues I want to add that just, you know, didn't make the cut. There's stuff like that. There's a little bit of, like, I'm sure, like, cheating is probably going to be a bit of an issue at the start once it, like, kind of gets out of this self-contained bubble. So I'm going to have to patch some of that. I'm going to have to, there's going to be bugs that crop up. There's still a couple, there's this thing in, if you play elimination mode at the start of the next round, you'll, like, bounce out of spawn across the room. Like, violently.
Violently!
Like, a tiny jostle, you get just shot across the room. And so, like, you know, those kinds of things that, like, they're not necessarily game breaking, but there's things that I like to fix. So there's a kind of big list of that, just minor polish stuff. But I think after that, when things settle down and the game's nice and stable, then I'll start looking at the Steam Workshop, maybe a level editor, more custom, sunglasses and robot parts, more levels, more game modes, and local multiplayer. So there's a I kind of am viewing the game in the way that like TF2, like I'm trying to go after that model where the game's not like done. You just keep kind of adding cool stuff and ideally open it up to the community so that they can create levels and share them around, because again, I'm one person, and if I can have 10,000 people making levels for me instead of just me, that would be amazing and make the game live for years, right? And not just, it's not just like a release it and like, all right, next project kind of thing. So
speaking of that,
okay,
do you have something brewing in the back of your mind for a next project?
I do.
Wow, that was vague.
Do you want to share anything?
No, he was vague.
Is it going to be a Minecraft clone?
Fair enough. I saw it someday,
That is, it's as the same style of Dodgeball, where it's like a simple concept, but it could be awesome. And I don't want to spill it. Because the thing is, like, it's so simple that someone could just do it.
But
no one's done it yet, right? So, like, same with first-person dodgeball. Nobody had done first-person dodgeball, so...
If you say it, all the iPad people will have it, though.
Right, and that's fair enough. Sometimes people have a sort of secondary thing that they're sort of brewing in the background, but it's a completely different genre and stuff like that, and they're kind of thinking, oh, yeah, I could... kind of just say, yeah, this was a first-person shooter, and now I'm working on an RPG or something, and, fair enough.
But, I'm sure, like, every game developer, like, I have a spreadsheet of ideas that I'd love to work on someday, and it's going to depend on, time and resources, and it's hard because, like, you want to build one thing, but you're like, this other thing would be fun, too. But I'm not quite sick of Dodgeball yet, so I'll probably be working on this for a good while yet.
So you're going to stay in the PC market?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe port this thing to, like, to consoles and stuff, but, like, primarily, PC's been phenomenal. And I love so many things about it. I'm definitely thinking of staying here for a while until, the thing is the market changes every couple of years, right? So, like, maybe Steam will not exist in 5 years, which is, like, hard to see now. Yeah.
But scary, because they've got all our games on them, thank you.
Right. But, like, I mean, there were, like, massive web portals that nobody thought would ever die, and then they died. So it's just, you kind of have to just see where the market's going and try to be a little bit on top of things that way. But for now, PC is where you want to be.
All right. Anybody else got any questions for Eric?
I have finally exhausted it.
I have one more.
Oh, wait. Yes.
Yeah. Going back to the name. It's a mouthful. Yeah.
No, it's Disco Dodgeball. It's not a mouthful.
No,
it's
the whole name. That's not even the whole
name. No, but that's the name of the game is Disco Dodgeball.
It's only four syllables. You call Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back every time?
No, no, that's what I'm saying.
Developers often have like a pet name for their thing. Do you have a name that you usually refer to it as?
I just call it Disco Dodgeball. Like, I'm not saying the whole name every time. Like,
it's called Tweet
here. So usually I just say DD, like if I'm talking on Tweet, because... anyone that follows me, I talk about it incessantly, so they know what I'm talking about. D&D.
DB.
Yeah.
DD.
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 DD. DD.
Or R2-D3, like that's another.
R2-D3. See? There's more to that than you.
All right, well, Rob, I think you should probably take us out.
Hey, Tom, do your job.
Hey, Eric, I have to ask you a couple questions real quick. So, if anybody wants to find out more about the game, what website can they check it out at?
They can go to 82apps.com. Like I said before we started recording, it's a terrible name for studio, and someday I'll change it, but for now, 82apps.com, or you just search Disco Dodgeball. There's only one thing that's that, and it's the game. And particularly if you go on Steam and search Disco Dodgeball, you'll see it. It's launching Thursday, February 19th, And it'll be $15 with a lunch discount as well.
And it's a freaking awesome game, and you should watch the end of this episode, because if you watch the end of this episode, after we wrap all this up, there will be a code to get your own free copy of Disco Dodgeball at the end of this episode.
It may even be scrolling on the screen
at
right
now. At this very
now.
Moment. At this very moment.
Right down there.
So you should, once that code's gone, it's gone.
Sorry, podcast listeners who are like 99%.
Right, they are all going to be pissed at us right now. So, and then, also you can watch our episode where we did a Let's Play if you really want to see the gameplay. But believe me, it is worth every penny. Buy this game. Right, Rob?
I totally agree. Buy this game. It gets the thumbs up.
Yeah, we have given away... I have bought a bitchload of copies of this game just to give to people so they could play with us on this game.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, no. Thank you.
I need that money to eat, so I appreciate it very much.
Right, especially now.
Yeah, if you can ever get out of your house again so you can go get food to eat. All right.
Time to wrap it up. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, ladies and gents, for watching yet another episode of Guys, Games, and Beer. You can visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer. Facebook, which is where everything happens. www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. Twitter, where everything else happens. at Guys, Games, Beer. Don't forget there's no and. Oh, God, don't we have something else?
Yeah, we have a Twitch channel.
Oh, yeah, Twitch. Guys, Games, and Beer on Twitch.
I think
Twitch.
We talk about our YouTube channel enough.
Yeah, you can talk about the YouTube channel, too.
GG and B.
YouTube.com
slash GG and B.
That's it.
And it's like B, B, E, E.
No, it isn't. It's www.facebook.com/guysgamesbeer.
And that takes you to everything.
And
that takes you to everything.
Yeah.
And you get to everywhere.
Guys, Games, and Beer.
Right.
All over the internet.
All over the internet. We are all
we are everywhere. Just... Ask our good friends over at Warlocks Games and Beer. I love you guys. By the way, don't forget, we did visit with Warlocks Games and Beer, and that episode should be out right now as you're listening to this.
No, you should go back and listen to that episode, because that was an amazing episode, too.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was.
We got yelled at.
Wait.
We were defended by a bar. All right,
bar.
Thanks for watching, ladies and gents.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Play Disco Dodgeball.
Yes.
Visit the Gutter Geeks at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. Also on Twitter at guysgamesbeer. And visit us on our Steam group. Yeah, it's Guys Games and Beer too.